It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
If you wrap foil around that, just like the little bit of the base part of the banana where the fruit is, wrap foil around that top and they will last longer.
You know, I'm something of a scientist myself.
Who needs your bananas to last longer, though?
Look, I don't want to go to the store every day for bananas.
They're 8 cents each.
What the hell are you talking about? What is going on?
You're going to wrap them in foil?
They're better when they're just a little green. Yeah.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Too much work.
Not that much trouble, Rich.
Too much work.
Says the guy that's got a spreadsheet with 3,000 fantasy teams.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
I mean, all these clips are so ancient. I don't have a spreadsheet, all right? But I do have teams. I drafted one last night, by the way.
Well, how do you keep track of them all?
I don't have to. It's 2026. Somebody else does that.
Okay. All right.
For me. But
I thought you would like investing your time and energy and brain in keeping all those columns neat and having those teams all on something that you're doing yourself manually just because, you know, that's how you are.
I'll get there.
Okay. Don't you have them all written down in a notebook where you're only using the front page of
No, you know what? There are only so many hours in the day. And I'm spending some of those hours, heretofore hours devoted to fantasy spreadsheets, to puzzles.
Oh, okay.
Because I feel that over the last decade, those spreadsheets really are not plus EV. Like, they're more of them are just sort of it's something to do to get through a day rather than something useful. Because by the time the season comes around, I'm not on those spreadsheets. Like, I'm not even really doing anything with them. Mm-hmm. I already have the app and the website that have all the teams and who's available and waivers.
So you're like,
I don't need the spreadsheet.
You're really like duplicating work here. That's all that's being done for you by computers.
Yeah, I don't need the spreadsheet. Doesn't really help me.
You're being phased out.
I mean,
your own fantasy life. You're being phased out.
And I'm not even kidding when I say this. People very much more serious about this than I am. Those people exist.
Mm-hmm. I believe that
they're using that sort of work for knowing who they've got and who they've got enough of, because they've drafted 7 times already today and they have another draft in 5 minutes, and how many shares of Travis Hunter do I have, you know? So for those people, and that kind of was me, but I still wasn't really doing it right efficiently, those people use that information. They need that. They want to know, do I have too much Josh Allen or not enough? And if you're drafting literally hundreds of teams, you don't necessarily know.
How could you ever have too much Josh Allen?
Well, that's a good question.
I think we all need as much Josh Allen as we can possibly. I guess there is a point where you would be full, I guess, but I'm not there.
Do we have enough Bo Byram right now in our lives? What do you think? Is he going? How are you reading the tea leaves on this? Is he going? I think maybe he's going, but I'm gullible.
I think he is. I think it's very likely that they will move him. You know, it's funny, not funny. It's, you know, maybe you know, not being as thorough as I should be about this stuff. Like you hear Jarmo Kekäläinen at the end of the year talk about how it really stood out, right? How cold he seemed about Tuck. You know, very calculated, you know, just measuring his words and, you know, sort of bracing us, I think, for, you know, it's going to be tough. Byram and Benson, like, right away, extension, extension, extension. If they were to do that for Byram, like, if they could get Byram to agree to some big extension, you know, somewhere between Dahlin and Power.
Name it.
Is probably the sweet spot.
Seven.
Like, 7 or 8.
Brady.
Or 10, yeah, right. Like, somewhere in that range is where you would land. And as much as, I mean, I know a lot of people share this viewpoint. Like, I started talking about those 4 dudes on the blue line are this team's superpower. Kekäläinen talked like that too. Like, it drives our team, that kind of talk, right? But if they sign another defenseman to that contract, even with the cup inflating like it's expected to over the next couple of years, mm-hmm. you're talking about 3 guys being paid in like the top 25 of defenseman salaries in the league on one team. And that does not exist. Like, no team in the league has made that commitment to blue liners. Now, you could say, well, maybe no team has this great a collection of guys. But it would be a lot of resources piled into one position. You know, the justification for it is what? Well, it drives our team. It's our superpower, like I've been saying. So we want to hang on to our fastball. But in a landscape where it seems more and more likely, like they're trying to find a way to replace Alex Tuck, I don't know that you can really devote that much money to that position. Because Samuelson, Power, and Dahlin would be, I think Power is right there on the line. I chose 25. That's where Power is in the rankings currently. Now, that'll change.
He's 25th in AAV.
Annual average value. 25th or 26th. He's okay. He's right there. Dahlin is like second or third.
Okay.
And so I think it was sort of there for us to dig in a little bit. Like, is this how likely is it that they do this? Right. It's like the Bengals signing two number one receivers.
Interesting.
Kind of thing. Right. Like, is this the best way to allocate our resources? And so, you know, Byram, I think, would have a certain kind of value for teams that don't have even one guy that warrants being paid like that. So I'm open to it, especially if it's Toronto and especially if it's Matthew Knies. And I think Matthew Knies, I don't think I could build a better idea, age-wise, body type, contract, quality of player. I haven't looked to see what kind of penalty killer he is, but I could not think of a better guy. I might be guilty. I've been crushing on Knies since he showed up in the league. So, like, I'm kind of a fanboy of his, but I think that is a trade that would get me to move Byram. I don't know that I would say the same about Power, and, like, let's not even talk about Dahlin and Samuelson. They're in a separate category.
I think Power should be.
Should be also in a separate category?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't
think... If it's my team.
Right. I don't think I would trade Power for Knies.
If it's my team.
But if it's Byram, I think I could get there. Because I think that would answer at a very, I think, reasonable salary for the immediate future. And even for a few years after. Knies is signed for 4 or 5 more years.
Very Sabres.
Yeah. And I think now, you know, what you got to then tell me is how I'm replacing Bowen Byram on my team. Like, what, where is that, you know?
Well, this
and
is
that's what free agency in the trade market is for.
Yes. This is super interesting, this one. Because really, and I don't know that I'm really qualified to answer these questions, but it is a, you know, take football. What are we the Bills have the league's leading rusher. Okay, great. How many wins is that? What if they had replacement level running back? Would they really be any worse? You know, maybe one win. I don't know the answer to that. But positional value varies, obviously. In hockey, it's narrower. It's only, really, it's center, but then it's forwards, and then it's D, and then it's goalie. Like, you have to figure out what is any of this really worth. And if I have... Not to mention the cap allocation, but if I have 3 defensemen that I think are borderline elite, what is it worth to me to have 4? Can my 3rd carry
right
somebody else?
Right.
Like, that's really where the smarties at the Sabres are probably crunching all that stuff, and I don't think I know the answer to that, but it seems intuitive. Although I would have liked Kesselring to stay around. Maybe he was untenable.
That's the part of this that's really weird, is the timing of that, coupled with now reports that Byram could be in play, because you might have thought, how bad could it have gotten with Kesselring?
Maybe really bad.
That you're trading him when you might be about to trade Byram. Like, Kesselring would be, that was why he was acquired, was to play that role. Again, Samuelson was in the wilderness at this time last year.
And also, Byram wasn't good at all.
That's right. Like, so I don't know, like, the timing, I'm still sort of working on, I might be like, so the Always Sunny with the dry erase board, the guy's got this manic, like, these are all connected somehow. I just don't know the thread yet. But to just move on Kesselring with this, you know, being in the wind now today would, it would be odd. It, you know, unless, yeah, it was just so, we just got, this is not, never going to work. We'll find a better idea to do what we wanted to do last year with Michael Kesselring.
Yes.
So, you know.
I can live with that.
That should be able to be done, and you shouldn't have to, I don't think, build your team in such a way that you are paying your blue line $28 million a year with three guys. I mean, I'm not even including Sam. It's nuts. So I feel like we are, I'll just say, I feel like I sort of missed that when Kekalainen was talking and being so bullish on the idea of keeping Byram. Maybe he was just playing cards with the league. Like, this guy we value, we love him, you know, he's a part of our core, yada, yada, yada. Now let me start making some calls.
Or he was talking, like, almost literally the day after the season ended, and he was talking like we were all talking, which is like, wow, that was awesome.
And why would we want to change anything? There's also this. I mean, from Byram's perspective, he's limited here, right? Like, you can scoff at this if you want, but, like, on a team like Toronto, like, if he were to be traded to Toronto, he immediately becomes their number one defenseman and their quarterback power,
in
their,
a year,
their power play quarterback.
In a year, he'll be the most highly paid defenseman in the NHL.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Or maybe when they make the trade, because they sign him right away.
Right.
If you're giving up Matthew Knies, right, you're not renting Bowen Byram. Right. You're committing to him.
That's right.
So the opportunity for him to just get to a level, he's roadblocked here. He just is not going to become that guy here because Dahlin and Power outrank him. As excellent as I thought he was their best player in the Boston series, Byram. I thought he was dynamite in it.
Then you thought he was bad.
And I thought he was bad against Byram. I thought he looked like he ran out of gas against Montreal. He was very vulnerable, I thought, against Montreal. But anyway.
Well, that's interesting in itself.
Yeah.
Like, is that a matchup thing? Boston really couldn't. They weren't dangerous. They were pretty solid and steady, but they weren't dangerous. So a guy like that, I don't know what I want to do with Byram. I know, well, I do and I don't. I have been critical of the Sabres for, this goes back all, you know, a year or a little less. Not even really. It was even when the season was already underway. Just like, why? They wanted to trade him. They couldn't or didn't or whatever that was, both. And so what happens here? And then they got really pretty, and I just stopped talking about it. Like, just, okay, well, this seems to be going pretty well. And we don't need to trade good players on good teams. We have a good team now. Mm-hmm. But I guess I really don't feel like I have my footing on what changed this year. We talked to Chad one day, and because he would be one of my first calls, you know, like, what happened here? And like, well, you know, situations and players, he's still super young.
Mm-hmm.
Players get better. That's the kind of thing I tend to bet against. I don't know. I want to have more clarity on him than I do, but I'm not going to be mad if he's traded.
I might have some regret, but I think, again, for the right player, the right deal, I have to be open to it. I'm just not sure it makes the most sense to have three $8 to $11 million defensemen on one team.
Well, who is there? Somebody? It's probably somebody from outside the organization, right? Like, if they did this,
yeah. I mean, I have no indication that anybody from Rochester is ready, or that Radim Mertka is ready to show up and like win a top four job.
What's he though
on a cup contending team? He's probably a trade piece too. But he's last year's number one pick, and he was pretty raw, project-y guy. Big, he's going to take time, all that man strength, yada, okay, yada. Like, he's not, to me, I'd be stunned if he's in there thinking, oh, we can get by without Byram because this guy's ready. I just don't think they have a guy ready for that role.
All right.
So I think they got to go outside to get it if they move Byram.
Next question, what about Gleb Pugachev?
This is a draft pick idea?
Yes. He is in the Athletics mock draft today at the 20th pick. Although he's a winger.
Oh, well. Can he skate backwards?
I mean, he's from Russia. So how do you, I mean, of course. But the article was like, Yarmo will draft Russians. And, you know, teams have avoided doing so.
The Sabres have not been shy about that. In fact, a couple of the defensemen I'm thinking of from Rochester that have been there a couple of years that I don't think are ready are Russian guys. Mm-hmm. So they haven't been scared off of that for a little while here, I don't think. But
let me throw in another name here.
All right.
Nyes is one. So Matthew Nyes, Leafs, two ways, young,
big,
cost controlled,
mm-hmm.
a lot to like. Hellebuck. Is he someone you think the Sabres would call on?
Yes.
Me too. And that's also this,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, that's Byram is this is also a kind of a sell high moment maybe for Byram,
mm-hmm.
where you have a particular challenge in that you have to figure out how to pay him in a year commensurate with other defensemen on your team that might be better or in the same, you know, the whole thing you just laid out, like just sort of the balance of power on your roster and everything like that. But, you know, what? But what? Like this would be kind of a sell high moment on him unless you think he's going to the Hall of Fame or something like this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, an 8 to 10 year contract at top dollar is worth signing him to, which I don't know that I do, considering especially how the Sabres are already built. So Hellebuck, what's that? That's Luukkonen.
Right.
That's Byram. Here's something else about this.
And the 20th pick, maybe.
Okay. I mean, I think it would be a little bit, maybe this is inside out, but a little bit sexy if the Sabres traded their pick in a draft that they're hosting.
Mm-hmm.
Because who does that? You know, old school is you want that moment in your arena. Really, a few thousand people are in there. Everybody else is outside. They're not going to see this player for 5 years, you know, whatever. You don't have to do it. But here's what I was going to say. We're maybe the shoe is on the other foot here, where the Sabres are often so seemingly disadvantaged in trade talks because players want to leave, or there's just sort of a supposition that players want to leave. And okay, well, this is really not an even trade, but I kind of have to do this. And right now, they could feel like the teeter-totter is the other way. And they're up here. And here's Winnipeg with a player that has a lot of marketability, has a lot of value on the market, but doesn't want to be there anymore, right? So you can be, if you will, you can be the alpha
mm-hmm.
in a trade like that. Now, I don't know if I want to trade it all. I don't know if I want to push in on a goalie.
For a 34-year-old goalie, yeah.
But I think, again, in theory, I mean, I know I would be excited about it, whatever.
It would be.
Stop analyzing it and just feel it.
Yeah, the fan base would be energized if they made a move like that.
Imagine opening night with him.
Right.
So, analytically, maybe not, but feels-wise, 100%. And I don't know that it's such a bad idea.
It's not my favorite idea. I don't know how likely it is they'll get there, but I wouldn't want to rule it out like we've said at the outset here. I mean, I think there's certainly a case to be made to just run it back with the three guys, maybe trade one of Ellis or Levi because both of them have to clear waivers now to go to Rochester. So you're going to lose. You're potentially going to lose one of them when the season is about to start if you try to do that. So you should probably try to mix that in somewhere. But I think the three goalies, I can buy that they would want to stay put with that. Stand pat.
You mentioned Kekalainen on Byram. How about Lindy and Kekalainen on the goalies? I mean, are they playing 4D chess on this one?
Maybe,
like,
maybe.
You guys don't even know this, but we're going to be able to have three goalies because the rules are going to change. Yeah. Like, and what they're winking at each other going, we kind of know we're going to be able to make this trade.
We're going
to
trade for Hellebuyck, yeah. Yeah, I don't
love it. What would that be?
I don't love it. I don't know. The cost to acquire really matters a lot here with a goalie. Like, I don't know, at that age, with the contract, that should, despite how excellent he's been year over year and the gold medal this past February and everything else, I feel like his age in the contract should limit what Winnipeg can get back. Like, I don't think this is, you know, it's different if he's 28. But I think at his age, I don't think I got to go 3-4 pieces to get him like I would for an elite forward or defenseman.
You know, that's probably right. And if you look around the NHL, is there a team that would? I don't know. I mean, again, Brandon Bussey won the Stanley Cup versus Carter Hart.
Right.
I mean, two guys that really didn't play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just who has the momentum on that particular piece or, you know, angle not continued in the same direction?
Yeah. Bussey played a lot. He led them in wins, but he was sort of a, you know, he's still out of nowhere.
I saw that, actually. I know that because I saw it on his LinkedIn page.
No. Okay.
Which is like two spots above working at Chipotle. He worked at Chipotle. Did you know that?
Yes. I've heard all the stories about him.
Well, I mean, thank you, Sabres, right? Let's all in unison.
Yeah.
Here we are. Even if they have nothing to do with this latest churn in the media stuff, which they probably do,
mm-hmm.
I'm now feeling like everything that comes out about them is what they want out.
Yeah.
Including Parayko.
I would think if they're maybe even feeling like they're hitting a stall in talks on Byram, that's why you get to many teams are inquiring. Like, hey, you know, you might get beat on this if you don't move. Yeah. You know, that it feels a lot like that.
There is logic behind them wanting to break the Parayko trade out. Put the pressure on them. We're good.
Yeah.
I don't know that they did that. Somebody did that and somebody else was upset.
Right.
But I think there was logic behind the Sabres doing it because let's just announce it and see what happens. Not directly. Let Pierre mm-hmm. LeBrun do it or whoever is going to do it. But, you know, didn't work out. Or it did,
right.
Because they still have the pick.
Right.
They've already moved up.
And they still have Mertka.
And they still have Mertka.
Right.
All right. Well, we'll get into this some more later with, if not beforehand, Matt Larkin will join us today, Daily Faceoff. Next, Matthew Collar. I can't wait to tell Matthew about my draft last night. He and I talk every Wednesday on Purple Insider about fantasy football, and that is going to be exciting.
All right, I'll go.
Oh, like you don't care.
I'll go talk at the water cooler with someone.
Brian Koziol later on the first round of the U.S. Open.
Still have a water cooler? I don't think we have one. No, we don't.
We just have broken vending machines.
AI replaced the water cooler.
And Jeremy will be on today.
All right.
AI 2.0. Is the new water cooler chemical formula. Jeremy's got an event tonight. We'll talk to him about that and more as well. So lots of people. Thanks for being with us for all of it. Matt Collar on the Vikings, who the Bills play on a Monday night this year, and more next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.